Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
To the winner's circle. I'm Derek.
I'm Cody.
I'm Tiffany.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. That's the first time we did that. We didn't even have to rehearse that one. We just nailed it first try.
Why'd you wink then, dude? Don't be doing that to us.
He was winking at me.
Oh,
I was
winking
at Tiffany. So, guys, you can see the thumbnail. You can see the title there. This is an extended interview with Taylor. We were lucky enough. CBS has been great to us all season. Lucky enough that we got to interview Taylor on finale night, which was awesome, but it was only about 5 minutes. And unfortunately, our girl over here was not available. She was on site reporting, getting the tea, getting all the inside information. We sent her out there as a double agent. She got all the stuff. We've been talking. We'll talk about it further on some other episode. But we got a five-minute thing with her, and we wanted to do something longer. CBS reached out to us and said, hey, you want a longer interview? You got it. I immediately, Tiffany, I called you right up. I was like, yo, we're good to go. So we did our interview. It was great. We just had it. Tiffany, any thoughts on the interview? It's a pretty long one, so you guys get some food, get a drink.
It was great. It was great. It was a fun time. It almost was like it was just a conversation. We were just, everybody's comfortable. I love how.
You weren't fawning over her at all. Not even a little bit.
No, I wasn't fangirling at all.
None.
Tiffany may
or may not have crowned Taylor virtually.
Immediately.
Which is a first.
As she should be.
Yeah.
But I was going to give you guys a comment. I was going to give you guys an accolade real quick. I want to say.
Go for it.
I think she felt very comfortable here. And yeah. I know the first time I came and talked to you guys and interviewed with you, I felt very comfortable here. So I want to say I love the environment that you guys, the energy that you provide for the guests, for me. And then now I'm a part of you guys. I see Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I really appreciate that because it's tough. I know what you're talking about. I mean, Taylor just was amazing. How that was such a good interview. I mean, the one answer that she gave, I was like, wait a minute, did she come up with that off the top of her head? Like,
yeah,
you could just tell how elegant she is and how ready to speak she is. She's like, even though I don't know that she's crazy prepared like that, I think she just has it. She's just one of those girls that just has it.
Yeah,
she really does. Oh, we're not going to waste your time. You didn't come here to listen to us. But Cody, where should they be going right now? Because we have more interviews coming, and I feel like there's something we should tell them before we get into this.
I'm like so bad at this. Tiff, you know what?
Why don't you tell them?
What should they be doing right now?
Tiffany?
Yeah. They should be on the winner's circle.
No. They should be.
Tiff, you are the queen
to the
of doing yes. this immediately. Yes, you never miss it.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
You guys. Okay. Should
because I don't know.
You should head over to the Winner's Circle. We are on YouTube, we are on Apple, and we are on Spotify. And when you get there, there's something I really, 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 really need you to do. I need you to like it. Please like it. I don't know if you even saw it if you don't like it. And then I need you to tell me what you thought about it. You can like it and you cannot like everything, but I need you to like it. But then tell me what you did or you didn't like and then subscribe. And my thing is, please share it. Share it with the world. Sharing is caring. I love to share, except my men. But I even share them too. But like, subscribe, comment, and for me, guys, share. Thank you. YouTube, Apple, guys, Spotify.
All of it. We can't get enough of it. Guys, without further ado, here is our interview with the winner of Big Brother 24 and, for the first time ever, also America's favorite player, Taylor Hale.
All hail Queen Taylor. All pun intended. I actually have something here for you, Queen.
What you got?
I want to take this crown, even though you don't need it. You were born with a crown. Mm-hmm. I just want to acknowledge you and pass this crown to you, Queen.
Bent over a little bit.
You got it.
I can't believe I just saw that happen.
I know. You on a panel to judge a pageant. That's what I'm going to make that happen.
Please. Yep.
I'm going to make that happen. Derek, Cody, Tiff.
Taylor, I have something to tell you. Cody knows this. I just judged Miss Rhode Island and Miss Teen Rhode Island.
Oh my God, stop.
Just did it.
So your girls are Miss USA this weekend.
Yeah, I just crowned it. And I actually had Cody to do I had Cody to do the next one because I couldn't make it to New Jersey.
Yeah.
He didn't show up.
Don't tell nobody.
Edit that out.
I mean, we don't show up, okay? I didn't just not show up. My schedule didn't match up, and they were like, "Sorry, that doesn't work for us." And I was like, "Okay, sorry." Mm-hmm. I'm so bitter about that. It was fun.
Really, it was stressful, but it was fun.
Yeah, it is stressful.
Well, I would love to judge a pageant. I would love to be a judge, but I just want to say, Queen. Beauty Queen, BB Queen, America's Queen, Detroit Queen.
That's right.
You got titles on top of titles. We need to see the rings, but we know you got them. You earned them. They were mad that I said you deserve it. You do. I don't take it back. You earned it. You deserve it. You're worth it. I do not mind sharing. I don't like sharing my men, although. But I will share. I will share this title of AFP love because you, my love, I all hail the queen. You deserve it. You have earned it. So let's get into it. My sister, I have no idea if you know how impactful you were to me in my own personal life, how I looked at you, how I viewed you from the moment I saw this beautiful woman from Detroit, from Michigan, from West Bloomfield, 20 minutes from me, going to be on Big Brother. I said, I didn't draft you because I didn't want to be biased and all that. I was trying to be objective and I lost. And I loved watching you. I hurt watching you. Sometimes I was very pained. I wanted you to go home, not because I didn't want you to win, but I didn't want you to hurt. And I'm so glad that you didn't, and you never gave up on yourself. And I really want to ask you, how did you, and I know you probably get this question, but for the women, and not just the Black women or the old women, because I'd want to make a statement that I don't think that you just are an example for Black women. I think you are an example for all women. I think you just make a huge statement for humankind in the way you carry yourself. And how did you find the ability? What was it inside of you that gave you the push to stay and continue?
I did not think that I would be someone that anyone wanted in this game. Like, y'all know I'm a pageant girl, beauty queen. I got recruited to be in the game. And I know the fans are very, very particular about what type of people play the game, who deserves to play the game, who should be a good player in the game. So coming in, I didn't think I'd have a lot of support from the fan base, but it was really important for me to earn it. But there were so many times where I felt like if I didn't have a why, none of this abuse would be worth it. And luckily I did have a why. I wanted to come.
What was your why?
My why initially was yes for Black women to get to the end. Mm-hmm. And I just know the pattern of Black women in this game. They are disregarded, discarded. They are cast away, bullied, which is very similar to the experience that we have in the real world. Mm-hmm. And I said, if I can be the person who can carry that pile, those weights, if I can be the one that gets to the end and is actually victorious instead of being discarded, then this will be something that will change the game. And the journey evolved as I was in the game. I was carrying a lot, not just for Black women, but for all women who played the game. And I think there's a lot mm-hmm. that the men who watch this game also learn from watching my experience in this house. So, you know, it was the why that never let me give up, because if I didn't have that why, I would have thrown Woodstack and sat on that block and gone home easily.
I got a question. There was a moment where you were in the house earlier in the game and you were in the bathroom and we watched you get emotional. And I remember going, is she aware of how people feel about her in the house? Because we couldn't tell if you knew that they were feeling a certain way about you and you just were like, either I'm aware of it and I don't care, or I'm not aware of it. What was going through your mind that created that moment where you had to release whatever was going on? What was going on?
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Yeah, you know, the thing about that house is that I'm sure it was picked up, but for me personally, I am a constant checker-inner, and not in an annoying way, but it's easy for me to pick up on people's vibes and energy and be like, okay, something's slightly off, something's wrong, something's good. But even just being a house guest in that Big Brother house, nobody is really oblivious to anything. You can feel a shift in conversation and how people engage with you. You just feel that shift. And I started noticing that when I tried to engage conversations, I could just feel that people were rolling their eyes or laughing or getting up and walking out of the room. Or when I walk into a room and the hush happens, like that is something that you don't just feel in your head, but you feel it physically in your body. And I just remember I started calling it, I'm getting tailored. I walk into a room and people stop talking, they walk away. Like that is being tailored at that point. And I had to go in the bathroom and it was so silent in the house. And at that point, week one, I was there 16 people all together. It should not have been quiet, but it was so representative of how alone I was. And that's when it hit me. I just remember I had to walk away from the backyard and go in the bathroom. And I don't enjoy crying. I'm not someone who cries often, but I had no choice but to release all of those tears, because you feel so hopeless and I was so alone. And in that moment, I didn't know how ugly it was, but I didn't know that I was being ostracized and something was going on.
Wow.
It's incredible what you did.
Yeah. I think, Taylor, that's something that let's take the game out of it. And like, where did you find that strength? Because Tiff and I and Derek, we were all talking about it beforehand. Like you cried once and it was like, there are people that have gone through so much less and have been like stuck in the bed, not leaving the diary room in past seasons. And like you were always there. You were just always out there. You didn't like hide from it. So like, where does that strength come from for you? Because I think that that's something, put the game aside, people can use the strength that you have in their real life, in an aspect, business, relationship. So I really want you to like touch on that a little bit.
And I'm not gonna lie, I lost my why a little bit that first week. It's early, you wanna have fun, you wanna get to know people. And I felt so confident in other people's disabilities in the game. I did probably foolishly think that there were other people who were more at risk than me. I thought that because Terrence was an older competitor, because Terrence was slower, I thought that they'd be more willing to evict him than so quickly put me up as a replacement nom. And just send me home. So I understood that I felt distance. I did not understand how deep the vitriol was that was against me. So if you want to talk about yeah, you were very strong. I did not know how deep and intense it was. I just felt distance. But you know, you cry, you let it out, you feel your emotions in the moment. And I did not go through a quarantined COVID tested sequester to lay in that bed all day. I think during the season I was laying in the bed some more, but I earned that one. There was I got through so much. The process was too long to get there to give up that early in the game. I wasn't going to do the first week, and circumstances ended up being different with backstage, which I likely, let's walk through it, very likely would have been voted of the people on the block, would have been voted to participate in backstage. And seeing that comp, I would have bodied it and I would have sent one of those horses. So like it would have worked out regardless, but I would have had still a significant social game that I would have had to overcome had Paloma still been in the house. So
we don't say that name on here. I'm sorry. I didn't say that.
Well, Cody talked a lot about taking out of the game, but I'm game 24/7. It's everything I look at. It's like, how is it a strategy? How is she using it? And I do think you gave the greatest, of all the seasons I've seen, the greatest final two speech I've ever seen. And I wanted to know where that came from, because traditionally, as you pointed out, the attributes that are categorized and kind of considered when voting is competition wins. How many times did you stay off the block? Social game, jury management, right? We've heard these things every season, and that's kind of how they decide who to vote for. And I feel like what you did, and I was saying this to Xavier when we were doing the after party, was that first off, you had two things you had to do. You had to first reprogram the jury members' brains to say, hey, listen, I know what you're thinking about maybe basing this off of, but how about this? This is what you should be basing it off of. It's not about those things. It's about resiliency. It's like the overcoming adversity. It's about perseverance. And then you said, with those things in mind, let's see what one of those boxes I check and Monty doesn't. And he was like, wow, okay. So what I want to ask you is, I know you wanted to win that final competition. I know you wanted that to be part of your resume, to take Monty to the final two so you could play up probably a little bit more, that the competitions weren't as uneven as it ended up being. Yep. But what point did you decide, okay, that ain't going to work, so now I got to go a different route? Because it doesn't sound like that speech was something you were planning from day one, because you didn't know that's the road you were gonna go down. So when did you decide, wait, I got to go back to the drawing board. I got to change the whole thing now. Because I remember on the feeds one night you were saying, how do I win this? How do I, now that I haven't won, how do I get there? How do I get the W? So when was that for you? And why did you decide to go the angle that you did? Because it was brilliant.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, when you have nothing that people would look at with the traditional rubric, how many comps did you win? Who did you send home? Like, okay, I'm bored with that. That is a boring type of game. That is so played out. And sorry if that's how you guys won, but like, Big Brother is not a nearly 90-day game just so you can have statistics. There's so many other elements that factor into you getting to the end, that factor into what qualifies someone as deserving, as worthy, as smart, intelligent, savvy, strategic. It's a holistic type of game. So if we're just using a rubric that says check, check, check these boxes, I took that rubric and I said, fuck that rubric.
Like,
you definitely did.
Yes, you did.
You bleep that rubric.
I don't fit that rubric. So I have to reframe it. I have to reprogram the jury, like you said, even though I know that Monty has stronger personal relationships with the people on the jury. I need them to understand that this game, particularly the one that I had to play, because I did not play the game that I wanted to play in this game. It was a game of survival. That game that I wanted to play. So I had to re-understand what type of game was I forced to play, and how is that still impressive? And how can that change the course of the game in the future? And that's my argument there. It's about, you know, okay, you took shots, you got some blood on you, but I'm the one that got shot 6 times and I'm still here. Like, I bled out, baby.
It's good. I would want to go against you in the final two.
I was the one that stitched myself up. Damn. That's it. That's all it is. It's,
I don't know if you're prepared about that or not.
But I did.
By the way, Blockbuster?
Yeah, I call myself the Blockbuster.
Was that just off the top rip, or did you plan on saying that?
I said it in the DR one time.
Okay.
So
I don't think they played it in the DR though, did it? Because that was the first time. I mean, maybe I missed it, but when you said it, I was like, damn. And she said, Monty, you're next. I was just sorry, Monty. I'm like, oh, brutal.
That's brilliant. What he knew.
Hey, my respect goes off to you from a game perspective. For obviously you went through a lot, but just strategically to come up with that to create that narrative and to do it successfully, because 99% of the people would have tried to convince the jury that they did check those traditional boxes, mm-hmm. and they would have lost because they would have gone, no, mm-hmm. based on that matrix, he smoked you. Yeah. But you said, no. We're going to change it up. Yeah. And I don't even know how you defeat that. As a future player, you can win all the comps. You could do all these things. But if you get someone like a Taylor sitting next to you, she still might slit your throat just because of the way they frame it. And it's from the front.
And she said that week one.
Yeah. my hat's off to you, Taylor, for sure.
Thank you.
That is, my hat has been off, girl.
It has since week one. That's why we said you had to get on here.
I want to know, like, do you consider playing this game to be one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life, or has life prepared you for this game? And those are two questions, and I'd like you to answer both.
Tiffany gets what Tiffany wants, right?
She does. She's the queen. She's running it.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
So I think it's a two-part answer that you can't answer one without the other, right?
Right.
My life, my 27 years of being a Black woman in this country had to prepare me for different microaggressions, different experiences, different assumptions about me that I would have to navigate. I am not successful in this game if I don't have to navigate that stuff in my personal life, because those are the tools that I have to go into the game. Now, I understand, and I knew this going in, that the game is a microcosm of larger society. And I didn't think that there would be an active, super racist anti-cookout in the game. I didn't think that there would be any very overt strategy that would be targeting me as a Black woman. But I do know the type of energy that I bring. I do know that I'm very confident, which is intimidating to people. And I do know that as a very confident Black woman, the perceptions that people will have about me. So I knew that I had to work really hard to break those down. And that's something that often happens in my real life, but that's because you have time to break that over. It happens very quickly in the real world, but that's because you have the time to let things happen quickly and then develop. You don't have that time in the Big Brother house. So the very first whiff that people have of me that I thought traditionally will go away, that's what was stuck and that's what was spun and that's what was used to drag me down. So yes, being in the Big Brother house probably was the hardest thing that I had to go through in my life, because I had to readjust my natural responses in my personal life to the game. And things were made so personal and deep against me so very quickly in this game. And there are things that I did not know throughout the game until weeks after. There are things I still do not know about in this game. And that's why I'm so grateful for former players who've been very protective of me, who have been very defensive of me, because I can't carry that weight. I know, Tiff.
No, you're number one. You're number one right there. Trust me.
Sorry, girl. It was hard. It was hard for me this weekend. I said, how y'all doing?
But it's in the game, it's so much harder because it literally is a pressure cooker and you're forced to make decisions for your own self-preservation. And you're not trying to be, in my case, I'm not trying to be a bad person. I'm just trying to play the game. But I also have to defend my character. I've had to do something that a lot of people in this game have not had to do to keep making it forward in the game while building and repairing those relationships so I could get forward. Those are just, you're not juggling tennis balls. I felt like I was juggling not bocce balls, like actual weights, like kettlebells.
Bowling balls.
Yes.
There you go. Let's make them as big as we can. Bigger the balls, the better.
Big old balls, okay?
So you saying that You saying that, like, you know, or did you, you're saying you kind of knew that you had been isolated, right? So watching you, it seemed like you went from being isolated to being insulated, but not like foolproof insulation though. Did you ever feel like that? Like, I know I'm isolated, but now I feel that I am a little insulated. And if you did, when was the moment that you felt like I'm in a good spot here? Besides the leftovers forming, was there ever a moment where you were like, I was so isolated in this part, but now I'm looking and,
go for me. And, you know, I think that was more when, yes, the leftovers formed, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful mm-hmm. for the relationship I was able to build within that alliance. Mm-hmm. But what was very crucial about that was the fomance that I created with Joseph. And it was, don't say okay like that. Don't say okay like that.
Follow up questions.
She brought it up. Foe. She brought it up, guys. She brought it up.
I say a foe. Everybody get your stuff out. Get ready.
I know y'all got receipts. But it was, I remember when I just pulled Joseph into the car room right before the leftovers were formed. And I just said, I just need a friend. There were not many people who were willing to just be my friend and hold space for me. And Joseph was immediately reprehended and interrogated for having any to me.
I'm glad that he wanted to be your friend. Mm-hmm.
Yes. People were so paranoid about me, which they gave me a lot of credit early in the game. I was not the mastermind that they thought I was, but 5-10 minute conversation of me crying and saying, I just need someone to not hate me here for reasons that I don't even understand. Right. Cause I did not know what was going on. I just need a friend. For Joseph to parlay that into the leftovers, bring me into this alliance that there were some people who were very hesitant about me that I now know. In that alliance and moving forward with that alliance, I still needed to be integrated with the rest of the house. And Joseph had those relationships mm-hmm. that I broke very early or didn't mm-hmm. even have a chance to make.
Yeah.
So to stop him from being interrogated about me, to stop those people from pushing Joseph away and instead bringing me in, I said, okay, let's make a fake showmance. Let's let people think that you and I are romantically involved because they love and respect you, which, you know, I had to use what I was given. I'd take lemons and turn it into lemonade. I had to attach myself to a man in this game, which I did not want to do, to be accepted by the rest of the house. But Joseph knew how to handle that responsibly. And I was granted access and more grace in the house than I had before I had this romance with Joseph. And that was able to be used and ultimately strategically for the benefit of the leftovers so we could get the 5 slaughters together and do this whole double agent thing. It ended up being a tool that was used not just for myself, but everybody else. Yes.
Let me jump in real quick. Don't forget your question, Cody. Mm-hmm. You created this romance with Joseph. And that allowed you to have relationships off of the relationships that he had. But then in your HOH, you consider putting Joseph on the block. Tell me more, sis.
What's up with that? Make it make sense.
Yes.
You know, I was so confident that Joseph standing in the house was not a threat to anybody else in the game. And we needed people to see me as the strategic competitor that they really thought I was, because I didn't have a chance to play that game. So with having power, we, our dummy selves, thought it would make sense to safely put Joseph on the block, make everybody think that I was trying to make a big move by cutting out my showmance, and that the plan just so happened to fail. I would have gained respect, and we thought that more people on the other side of the house would have wanted to work with me because I attempted to make a big move that they would have liked to see happen. Now, I did not know that there were people in my alliance who would have maybe taken a shot against the one person that I really needed.
Have you seen Joseph? Joseph? Because mm-hmm. when Joseph started Josephing.
Tell me what comps he won.
What, it's not that. We already just talked about this. We talked about this though. He has other things about him that make him a threat besides winning competitions. Mm. And so he was viewed as a threat just because of his social connections.
And his appearance too, by the way.
I felt like Joseph was overlooked a lot of times because a lot of people thought they were manipulating him when they weren't.
Yeah, that's true too. Because he would always be quiet.
He would just be like, yep, I don't need to talk. Yeah. You're doing all the talking for me.
He would keep his mouth shut and then he would come to me and his brain would just, the gears in his brain move so much faster than mine do. I will say that right now. And I knew that he could not just be a personal trainer because he was way too smart and planning all these long thought out plans. I didn't think he was a lawyer, but he had long-term strategies that would work to benefit me. So I was like, something else is up here. But again, it shows where my standing was in the house, where my relationships were, where I severely underestimated that people were starting to look at Joseph as a threat. I thought he was just playing a good middle game and people still felt like they needed him in this house. So I could try to make a big move and then let it fall apart. Yeah. So thank God that is not what we ended up doing. Mm. And for my own personal sanity, I couldn't actually put him on the block. That's not something that I ever actually would have done.
We saw that, Taylor. So we could see.
We wanted to, because I know you had the Us Weekly interview with Joseph. So we've seen your relationship, right? We can ask like the basic question of like, is jailer a thing? But I kind of want to go a little bit deeper because I felt the hardest part about watching you early on was that I felt you had a good heart and watching how you were treated was hard to watch, like a kind-hearted person be treated that way. What has drawn you to Joseph on like more of a personal level? Obviously you just explained to us the game, right? He's a brilliant mind. You want to find somebody that can compliment you, which is a great game strategy. But outside of that, your relationship outside of the house has been very cute, very flirty, very fun. It could just be a friendship or it could be something more, but what has drawn you to Joseph on a more personal level?
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Well, he's definitely a lot more extroverted than I am. And I need someone to literally drag me out of my bed and force me to be in front of other people. I will kick and scream about not wanting to be in front of people and he'll get me there and I will admit that I have a good time. But Joseph and I are just fucking clowns. Like, we clown each other all day. I feel happy and light and bright when I'm around him. It is easy to be myself when I'm with Joseph, and it was very hard to be myself when I was in the house. So Joseph and I played very similar games in the house. We led with a why. We led with not wanting to sacrifice our integrity in the game. And I told him early on, like, I felt like he and I would be a Janelle and a Kacer, like friendship, maybe romantic, whatever it is. That's someone that I'm going to be tied to forever because he and I just were so protective and loving of each other. And, you know, was he my Achilles heel in the game? Yes. Am I happy that Dire Fest happened? No, but it was probably good for me that he did go home that week. But when it comes to our relationship outside of the house, like, we are just people that see each other as people. We are people that did not belittle or hurt people in the game. And so we have the freedom and the space to just ride this wave of positivity and laugh and have fun with each other. And yeah, we've had some more serious conversations that started in the house, and it's because he's made it easy to not feel guilty about my experiences where other people have.
Well, that's a good, because listen, we only have about 5 minutes left with you, but we got to ask you some drama questions, right? Like, we got to do it.
I want to keep her.
We've learned through our sources and our social media deep dive, basically, that you guys are all living under the same roof right now. Most of you guys are at Todrick, which, by the way, hats off to you, because that's my brother right there. And I couldn't wait to get home and get away from these people after the show ended. But that being said, it brings up this interesting scenario because it looks like you guys have started watching the show together, which on most seasons wouldn't be that big of a deal. But the way you were treated in the show and how it was shown to the audience, that's really awkward. for them, not necessarily for you. So I have to ask a couple specific things because I know you could probably talk about a lot. There was a clip that came up later in the show on finale night, which you probably haven't gotten there yet. Maybe you've seen it though, where Monty kind of pulled his hands away from you. Like there was a clip that went crazy where you reached out for him and it looked like he thought it went to commercial break. He pulled away from you. Some people were calling him out for that. We didn't ask him about it. We got canceled for it. And then also the obvious thing with Daniel and Nicole being in the same house, watching the show together, have those conversations started to happen where you're breaking down what actually transpired? Because we crushed them on the outside, but they need to hear it from you as well, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we are not watching the whole season together.
Good call. That's probably a good decision.
As they should not. And you probably too. Hide the knives.
Yeah.
I've had a whole summer begging for a box of knives. I'm not hiding any knives.
I think you guys should stream you guys watching the show because you could charge for that and everybody's buying.
Well, you know, Indy went live. Indy went live when we watched that first episode.
Oh, we know. We got our sources. We got our sources.
The live move-in is fun. The live move-in is what type of character was everyone supposed to be here and who do we know them as? So that was fun to watch. It was fun to finally see the comps that we didn't get to see and see our reactions to the photos on the memory wall. That was just a good time. I had the remote the whole time. What can I hold? I'll hold my eyeliner like it was a remote. So I'm sitting there. I had the remote the whole time. We're watching on Paramount Plus. Credits start rolling.
Nice plug. Nice plug, Taylor. Good job.
Credits start rolling. And you know how these streaming services, autoplay starts. The time is ticking. You see that bar and you see everybody else frantically. Where's the remote? Where's the remote? Well, where's the remote? And I just go, pause.
No, they want you to watch.
No, yeah. No, because they know. People who are on jury, people who are in the jury house, no.
How do you feel though right now? You've got these people living with you. You don't know everything, but you've heard some things. They're coming to you. I'm sure they're groveling and apologizing. I don't know you tell me if you feel that they would be having the same conversations with you had you not won that they're having with you now. But I want to know. Oh, I was about to cuss and Cody was about to cancel me.
About to get demonetized.
Forget about them for a minute.
Come on,
forget about them for a minute. I want to know, how do you feel? Like we have watched you have to swallow, bite your tongue, leave things, you know, just rise above, suppress emotion, suppress what you want to say, suppress how you want to feel, because you know what's watching, you know what's on the line. Now you won the prize, and I know you have the money, and having the money feels amazing. But how do you really feel being in the same environment with the people who try to take you out, not out of the game, but they try to lower your self-esteem, they try to belittle you, they try to diminish your character, they try to sabotage you, they talked so much about you, and now they're in your face, living in a house that no one has to be in, but you were invited and welcome there, and I'm sure they were invited too by... So anyway, how do you feel, and how are you handling this? Because you're such a woman of grace and poise. And I know I ain't let you answer the question yet, but I want to take all the stuff away from you that you're going to try to say. I know that you you are a classy woman and you have handled so much adversity that you know what to do, but how do you really feel? Do you feel like doing that shit? Because I will come back. I'm sorry.
Come on, Birmingham.
Calm down.
How do I really feel?
How are you handling this?
It's, I got the HOH. I got the master bedroom. We call it the HOH.
I know you do.
It's a big old HOH and it has a lock on the door. So I will say I did watch episodes 2 and 3 for myself.
Okay.
And that has colored a lot. I will also say I have been tagged in individual by name threads of all the things people have said about me on live feeds.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot. And I've not intentionally sought it out. I like seeing the jokey things and the funny things and the memes. And then every now and then one will just pop up and I'm like, oh, noted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I know, Tiffany, you're different. You built this.
I know.
Built this.
So. Be different, girl. Let me be me. I won't be you. Mm-hmm.
I will never be the one to approach someone and say, this hurt me, you did this, because everyone has access to the same information. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the feed clips or it's the show, everyone has access to the same information, and everybody for the most part understands what they did in that house. Mm-hmm. If there are people who are willing to approach me and own their shit, mm-hmm. the worst of it, the surface level of it, all of it, mm-hmm. if they're willing to come to me and apologize without being prompted by me, I am willing to take that and say, okay, give me space to digest everything in my own time. I at least want to have the relationship with these people to be able to say, this is how this makes me feel. Yeah. This is how I feel about you as a person. And yes or no, I'm interested in continuing a relationship with you. That's where I'm at. Good but there you. Are times where I'll come back. Look, I got long days, y'all. I do a lot of press. I got to go out and do a lot of things in LA. I'm tired. Like, I've not slept. I've not been taking care of myself in the way that I should. And there are days where I come back to the house and people that I do not want to see hanging out in the living room, and they come right to my face and they're hugging me, holding my hand, trying to take selfies. And thankfully Joseph was in the same boat with me. He will literally pull me away and send me upstairs, or I would just go upstairs.
Yeah.
And I lock that door because there are people that I do and do not want to see. But I have the space to do that, and it's a whole lot of space. Great. So, you know, Nicole has owned her shit and taken accountability and apologized and told me that I don't have to accept any of that. But there is a baseline where we can rebuild that relationship. Jasmine has done that. Indy has done that. And she's been very active on social media, responding to comments, doing all of that. So, you know, Amira has done that. There are people that,
I said good.
Yeah. There are people who are doing that without being prompted. And that is what I ask for.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I just wanted to say something because it's based off what you just said. First off, we talk about Big Brother being a microcosm for society, and we're all right. A lot of what's going on in the outside world, you see a magnified experience of that in Big Brother. But what you just said, Taylor, as far as being able to hear people out, and if they genuinely take accountability, considering forgiving them, maybe you don't, but at least hearing them out and considering forgiving them is astronomical. Because I'll tell you what, social media, they love you. Everybody does. But this world we live in right now with cancel culture, it's like, if you screw up, you can't make a mistake in this world. There's no forgiveness. You make one mistake, you're done for life. And to see personally, we all saw, millions of people saw what you went through. And for you to have that type of reflection less than a week out, people need to take that into consideration too in their own lives. If they're going to look at Big Brother as a microcosm for behavior, look at it as a microcosm for forgiveness too, and how she's doing it, because that is a prime example of what we all need to do. There is a chance to hear people out. And if you genuinely believe what they're saying, maybe there's an opportunity to mend those bridges, and maybe there's an opportunity for them to turn their lives around and become better people. So thank you for saying that, because it was unprompted, and everyone loves you. And if you love this woman, then take her advice, because she's a walking, talking example of how we all should be in the outside world. She was treated poorly, and she's still willing to hear people out. As far as the game's concerned, you're an amazing representation of what the season is. And more importantly, it's corny to say, I see it every year, but I mean it. There's such a small group of us that play this game that understand what it's like to be in there. And I'm so proud to have you as part of our family. And more importantly, I'm proud to have you as part of the winner circle, because you're a great winner. You deserved it. And like I said, I just want to welcome you to the winner circle. And that's my final words. Extremely proud of you. And I appreciate you talking to us again today. And I'll let Cody and Tiffany say what they have to say, obviously.
Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say always continue to keep your guard up, because what Derek just mentioned, social media also has a fun way of causing people to say what they think they that they what they think should be said. Mm-hmm. And there's a phony in that as well, I feel, you know. And so
you know, I'm gonna say something a little controversial right now. If you do something bad, if you do something vile, if you hurt people, you should be told, this is what you said, this is what you did. Go sit in your corner with a dunce cap and look at what you did. But I also think that there's a second component that we're not doing. We need to bring people in. Because if we leave them in that corner, then you're just putting a bunch of dunces in the corner.
I think the social media platforms have caused people to say what they think outsiders want to hear, when in all actuality, that to me seems a little bit phony. And I think there's a phoniness to that. But I think, honestly, quite frankly, you have a great judge of character. And if somebody says something phony, you'll probably be like, oh, thank you for the apology. We ain't saying shit to you ever again. So I would say just continue to have your guard up. It's just, I mean, but do I really have to say that to you? I think you're good on your own, girl. You're straight. Like, you're good. So, and I appreciate what you just said there, because I think that's something that a lot of people need to understand, is that I think when you put a dunce in the corner and you leave them there and continue to, like, you know, throw things at them and never allow them to grow, that causes resentment. And then there is no learning. And then it's just continuing to resent. And then they pass that along to their kids, who then pass it along to their kids. And then it never ends anyway.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your sentiment there, Taylor. I mean, you've held yourself with class, so I'm not surprised in the slightest.
Thanks, Cody.
I hope it goes without saying, I adore you. You are my family. You are a part of the Big Brother family. You are a part of just my Detroit family. You are a part of the cookout. You are connected to me in so many ways. I don't even know if you know. I'm here for whatever you need. But I do want to say to you, continue being you. You got here because of who you are. These people will try to change you. The fans are very fickle. Protect your peace of mind. You've gone through enough. Don't let anyone tell you how you should handle anything, because if anybody knows best on how to handle it, it's you. You have handled everything the way you wanted to, and you have come out on top with that. I also went through ridicule, though, with forgiving and hearing my cast out because of the things that were said and done to me. And so I stand with you. And if I've been wronged by you, and you come to me and you have conversation with me, and I feel like we can grow and we can go somewhere, I am willing to hear you out. I'm glad that they are allowing you the opportunity to do it yourself and handle it the way you want to handle it. And I think you're doing a phenomenal job. Take time to tailor this life in this that we get jump into for BB. It keeps going. And I told you, like, I'm still going from a year ago. I still ain't got no sleep. Okay. Great. Just take time to you. Take time to you. You got a lot more money than me, though. So you probably got to give them work.
Help. That was pretty nice. I don't know. It's pretty nice. Yes,
wait till the tax man comes for you, Taylor.
I do not advise nobody to pay off their student loans. Don't pay off them student loans. Pay them mugs in increments and keep that money in the bank. You're going to always owe somebody. Pay them later. Don't worry about that. Keep that money in the bank. I love you. I cannot wait to hug you again. You've got this. You are the queen we deserve. Like, I love that. And I said it a long time ago. I said, I need her to win this. I needed you to win it, because I hope no other person has to go in that house and experience what you did. And I am glad that you were rewarded healthily for that monetarily, but I'm glad that it's not weighing on you emotion. And I hope it's not, but these are people, your house guests, who you look to have an extended friendship with, some of them. And you will just, and I need people to also understand that Big Brother is a franchise, and it's a business. And there may be people that you don't like and you don't want to be around and you don't want to see, but there are times where we're all going to be together. We're all going to be in the same room. And just because you see that, or you see us photographed together, doesn't mean that we're best friends. Fans are not able to separate the business from the personal, but I'm telling you, this is a business. And I know you know that. And so the way you're handling this and the way you're allowing people the opportunity to redeem themselves with you is great, because we will continue to do things together, those of us who want to, and people do want to be embraced and they want to be welcomed. I hope everyone allows themselves the time to come and apologize to you, because as I told you to your face, you owe nobody nothing. If I find out you apologize to anybody, you gonna have to answer to me. Okay. Okay. Tell your mom I love her. I hope your mom knows that I am a different breed, but I hope she knows I love you. I will always protect you. I will never be a bad influence.
Because my mom was trying to fight people on finale.
Okay.
My mom was, people were trying to say hi to my mom, and she made a step forward and was pointing that finger. She was ready to fight on that camera. So,
we asked the wrong questions. Should I do it? Taylor, where can they find you on social media? Although your social media is popping, where can they find you on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff? Where can they keep up with you if they don't already know?
Yeah, I'm a total clown on Twitter. So you can follow me at TMackenzieH. That's TMackenzieH. And then on Instagram, you can find me at The Taylor Mack. So Mack for Mack. And that's really where I am, The Taylor Mack on TikTok. But you're just going to find some, like, Magic Mike lap dances from before I was in the house. So that's
Taylor, I'm bringing you back. You will be back on my channel. I love Derek and Cody, but we're going to have some girl time together on the Winner's Circle very soon.
Absolutely. Taylor, welcome to the Winner's Circle. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Okay.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.